Community Matters, solutions to local issues and leaders who are making a positive difference. From your encouraging PER, here's your host, Joshua Tubbs.
Good morning. You are tuning into Community Matters on your encouraging PER. I'm Josh Tubbs. Well, today we have Francis of Carried to Full Term. It's been a while since we've had someone from Carried to Full Term on here. So they called us and were wondering if they could do an interview, and which it worked out perfectly because I actually didn't really have anybody for this week. So it was kind of a godsend that they called and wanted to be on the show. So I'm super thrilled to have them here to kind of talk about what they do and everything that they're doing in the community. So without further ado, Francis, how are you doing today?
I'm doing wonderful, Josh. Thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
It's good to have you. And I've had someone from Carried to Full Term before. I can't remember who, but it was a long time ago.
Yes.
So for any listeners who may not remember or just weren't there for the show, can you kind of talk a little bit about what Carried to Full Term is?
Absolutely. So Carried to Full Term is a maternity home. We're located in Haymarket, Virginia. We provide long-term housing for pregnant women. So they come in and they can stay with us for up to 2 years. And that's just the invitation. The pregnancy is the invitation because I believe that that's the easy part and that's the invitation to enter their lives. So we enter their lives through our program at Carry to Full Term. And then we teach them and equip them with all the tools they need to survive outside of the home. So the average age of the moms at our house is 29 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to undo 29 years of living. So we're dealing with mature adults here. But we admit moms 18 and older. We really don't have a cutoff. I think the oldest inquiry we've had, it was from a mom who's 45 years old. But mm-hmm. we do provide long-term housing, and the average age is 29. We equip them with the skills to manage their finances, so we do have some requirements. They have to continue their education wherever that cutoff was. They have to give back to the community through volunteering. They have to find a job. They don't necessarily need a job to be admitted into the home, but after, they have to find a job. They have to attend the classes that we offer at the house to include financial management. And they have to adhere to the rules of the program, which is literally rules that we operate within the construct of our own homes. But when you have an adult who has just been surviving and developed coping mechanisms to make it through the day, we have to undo a lot of that and pour in new things with them. So that's pretty much what we do at Carry to Full Term. But we're in Haymarket, and we provide long-term housing to mom looking for a place to settle, to have their babies, and to change the cycle of the life that they've lived to learn to become independent and self-sufficient.
Okay, nice. So how did you come to be involved with them?
Ask Jesus. You know, that's such a great question, and I get it all the time. And Josh, honestly, I had to take some time to sit back and think on how I arrived here, because I have plans. You know, I'm a career woman, I'm a mom, I'm a wife, and I love to give back to my community. So I was in a rhythm of my life, of the things I wanted to do. I would pray to God that he would bless the things I wanted to do. And he did, until I arrived at a point where he's like, Francis, now it's my turn. But I'm from the Intel community. I'm an Intel analyst former. And I've always served. I've taken my children to volunteer. And I've volunteered at the schools. I've volunteered at crisis centers to include rape and pregnancy centers. And I've just had a combination of experiences come together. When my daughter started high school, I was very involved at her high school, and I saw an urgent need to have the parents not only be involved, but present. So I created a mentoring program, and I was just going to do that. And all the experiences I've had in Intel, volunteering, and serving, I just put a little caveat aside, just to say, what if we get a student in this program who is pregnant, is being forced to maybe consider termination, or is being abandoned as a result of pregnancy? How can we support her? And I was just putting that aside. And so I reached out to my students and I said, you know, what's the cool name? So I threw out names like the Trendsetters, and they're like, ew, that's not cute. And I was at work one day downtown, and out of nowhere, Carried to Full Term popped up. And I'm like, well, that is not a cute name. I mean, which kid want to walk around like, yeah, I'm part of Carried to Full Term, right? So I just set that aside. But God is so fantastic in the way he orchestrates and, you know, work the things of our lives together. Even when we're right in the midst of it and we don't see it, he's really literally at work. So I continued the process working with my kids. And then I said, you know what? That looks like it could be a nonprofit. Not that I knew what that meant. I just figured that charitable work are called like nonprofits.
Yeah.
And from there, Carry the Full Term became this little set-aside thing that I kept adding, like, oh, it looks like it needs that. It looks like it needs that. Oh, my gosh, let me create bylaws. Oh, it looks like it needs that. And I have a strong research background. So I was just putting the pieces together. And before I knew it, voila, there was this entity that was Carry the Full Term. And so I looked back on what God was doing in my life, and I saw his hand in it throughout the beginnings of where Carry the Full Term started. Of course, I didn't know that that would be Carry the Full Term. But that's how I come to intersect within the lives of the mothers. They call. They get referred to us from other maternity homes, churches, social services. Google is like our friend. And word of mouth, the community events, our website. So that's the introduction to how I've become involved in a ministry where women get to become empowered through their experiences. And a lot of them are very difficult to hear, but that's where we become God in the flesh. And I call it entering the trenches of their lives. And that's where we become God in the flesh and walk it out with them. And I'm not by myself. We have lots of volunteers, amazing volunteers. So,
yeah, I don't think it needs too much explaining, especially with a lot of how you've talked about it. But like a crisis pregnancy, you know. I remember when I first interviewed you guys, I kind of had that very. It seems like every interview I do, I always have this really small picture,
yeah.
And then talking with the person, it gets bigger and bigger. And I didn't realize that there were situations where a woman who comes to you guys and is pregnant could essentially be in a dangerous situation, such as, you know, gang violence.
Absolutely.
And things like that. So kind of, can you kind of like broaden that horizon of crisis pregnancy just outside of something like, surprise, you're pregnant?
Absolutely. Oh, I mean, there's the stories of the moms that we get, they're so diverse. So I do try to go in and start the conversation with no two mom stories are alike. I try, and but no two mom stories. One's more devastating than the other. It's all from a very traumatic place. Like, we all have experienced some sort of trauma, but this is like extreme cases of trauma that sometimes you're right, like right under our noses. So one of the moms that we took in, she stayed within our program just one night, and I'll talk about that. And we do have moms leave before completing the 2-year program. She came in, a call came in from a pregnancy resource center, and this mom was sick, and she came in, and the resource center referred her to us. It was late in the night. We usually are not open past 4 or 5, the offices, but my phone is always on, and I'll take the calls as they come in. And this mom went in to get some help. The center referred her, and she ended up in urgent care, and she was sent to us. And we got her cleaned up, processed the paperwork as thorough as we can, because we do have a process that we go through. She spent the night, and the morning she woke up, she said, I can't stay here. And so we have the volunteers who were working with her, and then I got a call that says, you need to come here now. And I went. By the time I got to the house, she was gone. And the reason she gave why she couldn't stay here, the house is at 72 degrees. She said it was too hot. And then she said she cannot stay indoors, like she cannot live within the construct of a house situation that's inside. She came to us from living outside. She wasn't from a tent community. They would, like, our understanding of tent communities is that they're a bunch of families or people living in a community where each of them have a tent. No, not this young lady. Her husband or boyfriend picked out a patch of woods out on a main street, but with enough privacy from the main road, and decided that that would be where they lived. And that's where she came to us from. So we have an instance like that. She was at risk of every possible health risk you could think of, because at the time we processed her, she was 7 months old. I mean, 7 months along. And she had not received any prenatal care at all. She was severely underweight, malnourished. And so there are processes that we have to go through in instances like that. However, ours was sped up because it was a shock that came. But we have where people relocate to the area, and the families or the individuals that they moved to the area to meet and to move in and to live with when they shared that they were pregnant, they're no longer, you know, accepted, or they're given the option to leave and to go somewhere. We have family members who have put some of the women out. We have women who were found on the road walking with nowhere to go, and they were taken to other centers, and the centers referred them to us. We have parents who will show up at the front door with their children begging for help. Mm. And there are instances where we really can't take some of the people who show up because we're not equipped to provide support to cutters or to individuals who are suicidal. We just don't have the resources. We could refer out. But in those instances, it's very high risk, not only to the individual who's like urgently in need of care, but to the families who are currently in the home. So we do have to make decisions, sometimes on the spot decisions, in regards to protecting the families that we currently have in the home and how we're going to help and protect this other family in urgent need. So they come from various backgrounds, but from various situations of trauma that's almost always life-threatening, whether it's immediate or in the long term.
Yeah, and it's always interesting to me the position that women can be put in when they do get pregnant, because it can literally be, you know, one side of the room is saying, congratulations, you're pregnant. Well, you may not want to be pregnant. And then the other side of the room is saying, what's wrong with you? Why are you pregnant?
Yeah.
And so I love that you guys kind of provide that sense of community and allow them to work through those feelings.
Absolutely. Women admitted into our program must attend therapy. They don't like the word therapy, and so we ask them to go talk it out with a licensed professional. Because a lot of times we are told that there's nothing to talk about, but we're experiencing the need to have the experiences talked through with someone other than ourselves. And so every time we have a mom who finally makes it to talking it out with a therapist, she comes back enlightened. We did have a situation where we had a mom. Every time she came back, she was devastated, like heavy, like grave. And so we just came up with a plan to either have her go take a walk or we gave her the options. What would you like to do? And she said, I will either take a walk or I'll lay down. And so we instituted that. But she came from severe trauma, unimaginable trauma that she was born into. And it was passed down through her family. Mm. And I guess one of the things that this particular resident would experience when she went to therapy was having to talk and share those experiences. And there are things that may be normal to you when you're in the situation, and then you're having someone walk you through it, and you're finding out, wait a second. So the weight of that, we didn't necessarily know what she was dealing with or what they were talking through. We needed to be a support that was there to be present to help her process. And that came in the option of either exercise or rest. And so we gave her, sometimes she did both.
Yeah.
But those are some of the things that we get to help and walk moms through. Our volunteers are incredibly supportive. We have volunteers from every walk of life. You know, some are licensed, some are RNs, but they're not there in those roles. They're literally there to be a support. We have mentors, and that's the longest commitment, because mentors commit to walk with a mom the entire life of the program. We have resident assistants who are in the house, and we have goals, case managers who come in and help the moms create goals around the requirements of the program, and resident assistants who are in the house almost every day, just checking in to make sure they're meeting the requirements. What progress are you making? What challenges are you facing? Where are you stuck? And a challenge might be a mom having to make a doctor's appointment. I mean, something like that, because she's never done it before, it creates anxiety. Like, how do I speak for myself? How do I answer the person on the other line? There are times when we've had to write out scripts for interviews, because in the moms, you're thinking 29 years old, like, surely they've been on an interview before. Well, maybe not. So we've done scripts. We've had volunteers come to the house and sit with a 30, 31-year-old and teach her how to organize her space in her room. It's, you know, we have moms who they go to the boutique, and I'll tell you a little bit more about our boutique, but they hoard because they don't know if they're going to ever get another pack of diaper when that need. And so they hoard, and we're like, wait a second. You get to earn how many packs you buy because you're meeting the requirements of the program, so they get points for that. Yeah. And they go take the points and go to the boutique and they purchase the things. But if you're coming from a place where you don't know what you're going to have available for you in the next day, you will grab on and latch on to every opportunity you get to get something. And so we've had volunteers who come just to do that. There is no area at that house for an individual who need a skill to survive that we can't have a volunteer step in to help. Even if it's writing a thank you letter, writing a note to your child, reading to your child. We've had moms that we've had volunteers come in for a whole day to model what parenting that child looks like. Because they have a child, but they don't necessarily know how to parent throughout the day. So there are just a variety of ways that people can help. And we have a team of spectacular volunteers.
Nice.
Great. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, with all of this that you've mentioned, do you guys do any like events in the community to kind of help raise awareness or just to kind of connect with the community?
Absolutely. So our organization is kind of different. We have our social media page and we're super active, but we do have events. We have an annual gala coming up. It's called Life is a Gift. It's the first Friday in December. And so this year we're planning that out. But we also, on September 7th, we have a 5K that we're running, and it's to raise funds. So as a nonprofit, we're going into our third year, so we're now able to qualify for some grants, but we don't currently get grants. We rely solely on the donations of individuals who are coming alongside us. We have a monthly membership program where they're called parent partners. And you're literally saying, I cannot necessarily be in the house, or maybe I can, but from a distance or for where I am in this season of my life, I can support a mother by making a monthly contribution. And so all of that could be done on our website at carriedtofullterm.org. You could sign up to become a monthly partner. You could definitely sign up for the 5K. And you, once the tickets go live, you could purchase your Life is a Gift tickets. I don't think we're doing tickets this year. You could become a sponsor. You could become an underwriter. You could become a business who just want to partner with us and just to say, I believe in so much in the work that you're doing and I want to help these mothers. And it's not so the babies are brand new. Like I said, that they're a clean slate, you know, because you pour into the new being. Mm-hmm. But the mother is where we really need to come in and invest our time, because a 29-year-old mother may have already lived like four lives of devastation. So, and then teaching her how to parent her child brings up all these triggers. So we have these fundraisers to raise funds, and we're asking businesses to come alongside us. We're asking individuals to join us, and we're asking just everyone within the sound of my voice to sign up for the 5K. It's going to be so much fun. We're going to have music, and we're going to have babies running. Last year we had a baby fun. And the baby actually won. It was so exciting. So join us September 7th. We'll have t-shirts and you'll get to be a part of it. And you could run as an individual. You could run as a team.
Okay. Yeah. Nice.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
And last year, I'm going to run it this year. I was so busy last year. Busy in quotes. so at the very end, I'm a mom of four. So I had my husband. I said, come on, guys. So we went around like the finish and we sprinted across the finish. I'm like, make sure you take a picture. But we were all really involved doing a variety of things just to ensure that, it, you know, the race went very well. So we didn't get a chance to run the entire, but we're going to have a bigger team of volunteers this year, and that way we could all run.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's so exciting. Plus, I get to look athletic.
Yeah.
One of the things I like to do is pose in athletic wear, because I could take so many pictures and everyone will think I work out.
Uh-huh.
But what I really do is just stretch and pose. So this year, I could stretch, pose, and run.
There you go.
And walk. So that's what I'm saying, Josh. We do have events, and we rely heavily on donors to support our mission. So thank you for asking.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's I find with a lot of the people that I talk to, awareness is key for a lot of what they do. Yeah. And one question that I do have for you, and you've already told a couple of stories, and, you know, without, you know, giving any specifics, when you think about what you do, is there that one kind of person and their story that comes to mind when you think about lives that you guys have changed?
They all do. The funny thing is I put my all into it. I really, so there's this, the first mom comes to mind because she's the first mom we've admitted. Mm. Sweet, wonderful young lady. The second mom, really is the one that dominates a lot of my thought process because she had so, and she's not at the house anymore, so I'm speaking in past tense in relation to her being at the house. A lot of personality. Oh my gosh. And so you would think when you hear her talk, she was very ambitious and just really committed. There was one vulnerability, and it was her past. Just kept the people in the past just kept latching on to her. And every victory she had, we would celebrate it at the house because we do celebrate victories. And we do have weekly sessions of where we affirm the moms. But this one particular mom had this one individual that she longed to have her approval in everything she did. And this individual knew it. And rather than foster progress and growth, she manipulated it. Mm. And so the past just kept, like you could visibly see whenever she made that call, like a prong would like literally go into her flesh and pull her to the back. And it was always devastating. Thank God we were able to, she had a mentor and she would just share it with her mentor. But it didn't matter what we poured into her. She wanted this one approval. And a series of events occurred, and this lady was able to get deeply down into her psyche, and she left the house. Mm-hmm. But the time that she was there, that was the first mom that left the house since we were admitting moms, and it's the first time I saw everyone within the ministry and the program in whatever capacity they served in grieve. Mm-hmm. Like, we all grieved in a different way over this particular mom, because you saw greatness in her. She didn't see it, but this particular mom was placed in foster care. She had several siblings, and she aged out of foster care. But from the time that she spent in foster care, she knew what she wanted her life to be. She saw healthy relationships modeled. Not all the time, but the ones she saw. She knew what the end, she knew what the end was going to look like. Now, taking the steps to arrive at the end, now that's where the challenges were presented. And we were not only dealing with her, but we were trying to keep boundaries in place to keep her in a healthy relationship, particularly with this individual. Mothers go on pass on some selected weekends, and one weekend she went on pass. And this individual had her commit to heavy burdens. Some financially, some verbally, but she made a commitment. This one mom really stick to her word. Like, if she gave you her word, she would follow through on it. And she came back, and she couldn't maintain the burdens. But this mom, this individual had this mom move out of the home and move into her own place, and she wasn't ready yet. Yeah. And what happened is she fell back into the cycle that led her to us in the first place, but this time it was worse. And so a mom that comes to mind when I think about the work that we do is this particular mom. And it's devastating whenever a mother leaves, especially when you see like snippets of their greatness and they don't see it. But you know, if she waited it out, that now another generation and future generations would now not have to live the experience that she's lived. But we do get a lot of moms in, and we pour into them. The biggest pushback we get now, the first 30 days, we ask them to give up their cell phones so that we could pour into them. And the other biggest resistance that we get is because of the structure, like having to do chores, having to find a job, having to continue your education, having to attend classes, having to take care of your baby, having to dress for the workday, having to follow through on what it looks like to prepare for the workforce. So those all have requirements, and those are that's the explanation we usually get. It's too much. It's too much. We do it incrementally, and even though at every step of the way they celebrate the victories, there's a fear of, will I be able to maintain this progress, or I don't, like, there's the fear of the unknown because they don't know what this particular life pattern produces. Mm-hmm. So there's always that pull on, should I stick with what they're teaching me, or should I continue with what I know that produces, even though they know it's chaos? So several moms come to mind. They all do, because your heart. Someone asked me a question the other day when I was grieving over one of the moms, and I was asked, how do you separate the work emotionally from when you come home, how do you separate emotionally the work that you do with the moms? And I'm like, well, it's literally an emotional investment. You think on them, you pray for them, you think on ways that you could help empower them and help fill the spaces with goodness, with affirmations, with God's plan. But at the end of the day, when a mom makes a decision to leave because they're adults, it's devastating. I can tell you that much. Mm-hmm. It's devastating. So we do have talk therapy extended to the workers as well. But all the moms really come to mind because they touch your heart in such a way that they leave you hopeful. But I am going to tell you, Josh, mm-hmm. moms who leave prematurely almost always reach back.
Yeah.
They give us updates. So the first time this particular mom that I shared, I gave her 3 months. I'm like, she's gonna reach out to us within 3 months. She didn't. It was 6 months.
Okay.
But she did reach out to us. And we can't provide the same amount of resource that we provide to the moms who are completing the program, but we do provide support.
Yeah.
Yeah. So no matter how much time they spent, when God allowed our paths to cross, however long that impression is made that his love is true and right and present, they latch onto that thing that doesn't require them to give something to get it.
Yeah.
That thing, because they do that. What do you want from me? Why are you being so nice? And we're like, we are just here to help you. And that's something to process too. So this particular mom would say that all the time. So as I'm answering your question over and over again, she rises to the surface because she is a dynamic individual. She just doesn't know it just yet.
Well, that's about all the time we have for this show. We will have her back on the show next week to kind of pick up where she left off, and we got a lot more to talk about what they do and their mission to help those in our community. So you can go to carriedtofullterm.org. You can find out all about how you can get involved, the events that they have coming up. You can get in contact with them if you're a church and you're looking for ways to just kind of expand your ministry and get involved with different ministries in the area. This is a great one to get involved with. It's something that a lot of, women who find themselves in pregnancies, it's not always a happy thing. And when it's not a happy thing, it can get pretty rough for them. So this is the perfect opportunity to reach out to somebody who really needs it. So go online and check it out and find out how you can get involved. Well, I want to thank everyone for tuning into Community Matters on Your Encouraging PER. If you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can always email me at josh@positivehits.org. That's Josh, J-O-S-H, @positivehits.org. This show will be posted on our website. You can go on to yourper.com. Go to Resources at the top, and Community Matters is near the bottom of the drop-down menu that appears. And you can re-listen to the show, share it with a friend. I'll also include the link to Carry to Full Term there, so that way if you're driving, you don't have to remember every detail. It'll all be right there for you. So, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and I hope everyone has a good and safe rest of their Memorial weekend. Tune in next week for the rest of the interview. We're going to be talking with Francis again to talk a lot more about what they do and how they're helping the community. So thank everyone again for tuning in, and stay safe on the roads.